Hi, and welcome to the Magazine Rack. I'm Chris. I'm Michael Prinz. Today I'll be reading from Kiplinger Personal Finance, the June edition. The first article is written by David Roddick, titled, Cut Your Bills for Auto and Home Insurance. Protecting your car and home is getting a lot more costly. Use these tips to minimize the pain of rising premiums. Consumers have been battling high prices everywhere, but rate hikes for automobile and homeowners insurance have been especially nasty. Premiums in both markets skyrocketed over the past couple of years. It has been a historic period of increases, says Stephen Crudson, Senior Director of Insurance Intelligence at data analytics company J.D. Power. Our data goes back 30 years, and I've never seen anything like this. The average price of car insurance spiked more than 20% over the 12 months ending in February 2024, and more than 38% since 2020, according to the Consumer Price Index. Insurers requested an average premium rate increase of 11.3% for homeowners insurance in 2023, but that impact is not spread evenly nationwide. Some states, including New Jersey, Utah, and Vermont, still have relatively affordable homeowners insurance markets, but others, such as Colorado, New Mexico, and Texas, are dealing with much more expensive premiums. In California and Florida, homeowners are struggling just to find coverage. Given that auto and home insurance are essentially mandatory, these premium increases may feel particularly painful. Nearly every state requires drivers to have at least basic liability auto insurance coverage to pay for damage they cause to others in accidents. Lenders typically require homeowners with a mortgage to buy insurance. And even if you own your home outright, it's not wise to leave your property unprotected. Although the hikes may seem like a money grab, insurers are also getting hammered. The U.S. property insurance industry lost $38 billion in 2023, the largest underwriting loss in a decade, according to AM Best, a credit rating agency that specializes in the insurance industry. What is causing all this havoc in the insurance markets? Is there any relief in sight? And what can you do to trim your costs? Why auto insurance premiums are rising? More crashes. To understand the auto insurance market, you need to go back to 2019, says Crudson. That was the last relatively normal year for auto insurance. In 2020, the pandemic hit. Suddenly, people started driving much less as they stopped commuting, going on vacation and seeing friends and family. Miles driven went down. So, claims went down. Because insurers collected more than they paid in claims, they returned that money to consumers through refund checks and reduced premiums. But in 2021, drivers returned to the road. And so did car accidents. Dangerous driving has increased post-pandemic, with more people speeding, driving recklessly, and becoming distracted with mobile devices and in-vehicle screens. People are looking down when they drive now, says Jeff Schlitt, owner of Schlitt Services, an independent insurance agency in Vero Beach, Florida. The result has been more crashes and claims. Car crash fatalities were up more than 10% in 2022 compared with 2020, according to the most recent data available from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. More expensive repairs. Vehicles are built with all these new safety features, which is great, but it adds to the cost, says Schlitt. It used to cost $300 to replace a broken windshield, but now it can cost over $1,000 with all the technology. Auto repair shops still deal with inflation, supply chain issues, and labor shortages. They are passing on these costs to consumers and their insurers. Repairs are taking longer as garages wait on parts, meaning auto insurance policies must provide policyholders with longer vehicle rentals. Finally, used cars have been retaining more of their value post-pandemic because of higher demand. If you total your car, most auto insurance policies pay the value of your vehicle on the day of the crash. Because used vehicles are worth more, on average, than they used to be, they are more expensive for insurers to replace. More lawsuits. If you cause an accident, you're liable for covering the repairs and medical bills of the injured parties. Inflation has pushed up these costs for insurers as well. These days, people are more likely to sue and to be awarded much larger settlements for their injuries than in the past. Auto insurance policies usually cap what they pay for lawsuits against you at $500,000, if you buy the maximum coverage. You might buy an umbrella policy with additional liability coverage to protect against lawsuits beyond your auto liability limit. As seven-figure settlements become more common, umbrella insurance costs are also rising. Tips to save on auto insurance. Auto insurance premiums are increasing as insurers adjust to this perfect storm of issues. Our industry operates slowly on these numbers. Aggregating takes time, says J.D. Powers Crudson. Auto insurers should be pricing these factors into policies, slowing future rate increases. But how can you save money until then? Check for discounts. Insurers offer many discounts that consumers don't know about, says Crudson. Taking a defensive driving course or installing an anti-theft device on your vehicle are often ways to save money. If you have a student driver, you may get a discount if he or she earns good grades at school. You could also qualify for discounts by paying your premium annually and opting for electronic statements. Finally, depending on the insurer, you might get a lower rate if you're older than 55, a military member or veteran, a federal employee, or a member of certain academic, professional, and trade organizations. Save with safe driving. Many insurers offer discounts if you agree to use a telematics system to monitor your driving habits, through either an app you download on your phone or a device you temporarily plug into your vehicle's diagnostic port. You agree to have the insurers ride around with you for 90 days, says Schlitt, the insurance agent from Florida. The app or device checks for risky behaviors, such as hard stops, quick acceleration, and driving after midnight when the roads are more dangerous because of drunk drivers. Most insurers will give you a premium credit of at least 10% just for agreeing to the test, says Schlitt. And companies usually don't penalize bad driving. They just withhold the discount for drivers who don't meet the safety standards. If you work remotely and aren't commuting every day, you could set up a mileage-based auto insurance policy. Your premium depends on how many miles you drive each month, so people who spend little time on the road can save. Pay for minor repairs out of pocket. Auto insurance companies increase your rates for every claim you make. You may come out ahead in the long run by paying for small repairs out of pocket. If you call roadside assistance or make a claim to repair a crack in a window, that didn't count in the past, but today it does. Only use your insurance when you truly need it, says Schlitt. Estimate insurance costs before buying a car. Before you purchase a new vehicle, check how much it would cost to insure, suggests Matt Hagen, a director at Assurance IQ, an online insurance marketplace. Newer vehicles with more technology are more expensive to insure, he says. So are sports cars, which have higher accident rates on average. Drop rental coverage if you have a backup. If you have more than one vehicle available, consider dropping your auto policy's rental coverage, which provides you with a car to drive if yours is in the shop for a lengthy repair. Instead, drive the backup vehicle. Increase your deductible. The deductible is what you pay out of pocket before insurance kicks in. Raising your deductible lowers your monthly premium. Make sure to keep enough money in savings to cover your deductible in case of an accident. Remove collision coverage from old vehicles. If you're driving an old vehicle that isn't worth much, consider dropping the collision and comprehensive coverage while keeping liability. Your insurance would pay to repair the damage you caused to others, but not to repair or replace your vehicle. If you can afford a down payment on a new vehicle after a crash, this strategy could make sense, says Hagen. You must have paid off the car first, as lenders require you to maintain insurance when you have an outstanding auto loan. Bundle multiple policies with one insurer. Insurers offer discounts if you buy multiple types of insurance from them. For example, if you purchase auto, home, boat, and/or life policies from one insurer, you could qualify for a discount on all the premiums. If you want umbrella insurance, You usually get a lower premium by buying it from the same company that handles your auto insurance, says Schlitt. Now, why homeowners insurance is getting more expensive? Disasters nationwide. Homeowners insurance premiums are rising primarily for one reason. The country is being hit with increasingly intense natural disasters, such as hurricanes, blizzards, and wildfires, and dealing with the aftermath is getting more expensive. It's happening everywhere, even in places that don't come to mind right away. A hailstorm in the Midwest might not make national news, but it still could create massive damage, says Crudson. Rising costs from inflation, labor shortages, and supply chain issues mean home repairs have become more expensive. If you rent your home and buy renter's insurance, you're likely seeing an increase in premiums too. In California and Florida, the insurance market has become so challenging that many homeowners struggle to even just buy insurance. If you have a roof that's more than 15 years old in Florida, your odds of getting insurance are nil, says Mike Moran, executive director of Florida PACE, a public agency that provides financing for hurricane-resistant home improvements. For many people, it's not a question of saving money, but figuring out how they can even get home insurance. Regulatory issues. Though more costly disasters are the root cause of insurance woes in California and Florida, government and regulatory issues haven't helped. Compare these states to Texas, says Crudson, who notes the state has also seen rising premiums and a streak of natural disasters, but insurers haven't left the market. California's Department of Insurance restricted insurers from raising premiums to compensate for higher costs. In response, insurers pulled out of areas vulnerable to wildfires. California has since started allowing future rate increases, which could encourage insurers to return. In Florida, there were problems with contractors running roofing insurance scams. The contractors would offer homeowners a free roof by finding signs of storm damage, though the damage wasn't enough to justify an insurance claim. The contractors would then sue insurers for refusing payment, hoping to get a large settlement in court far beyond the cost of the roof. Even though Florida represented just 8% of national homeowners' claims in 2019, it accounted for more than 76% of all litigation claims. Carriers took big losses, and the money went to attorneys, not to repair homes, says Schlitt. In 2023, Florida passed significant tort reform. There are signs that insurers are returning to the market, slowing down rate increases and even considering coverage for homes with older roofs, says Schlitt. For example, 6 new property insurers entered the Florida market in January. But there's still a backlog. He expects it will take a couple of years for markets to stabilize. Tips to save on homeowners insurance. While changes to address regulatory and legal issues could help in markets that are facing those difficulties, the country is still dealing with more natural disasters. So what can you do to qualify for a more affordable policy? Use all possible discounts. Insurers may offer discounts for paying your premium annually instead of monthly. Switching to paperless statements, being a non-smoker, being a loyal customer, avoiding claims for several years, and bundling your homeowner's insurance with other policies, such as auto, boat, and life. Keep your home safe. Taking steps to protect your home can prevent costly claims and qualify you for other discounts. For example, insurers give credit for setting up a fire alarm and home security system. You could also set up leak detection devices to catch flooding early. If your heating, plumbing, and electrical systems are getting up there in age, consider replacing them for another discount. And finally, you could also save by removing a dangerous, attractive nuisance, such as a trampoline, pool, or treehouse. Invest in home hardening. Home hardening renovations protect your property against the most severe local risks. In a fire zone, you could replace your roof, deck, and walls with fire-resistant materials. In an area vulnerable to hurricanes, you might replace the roof with one more resistant to wind and leaks, buy a sump pump for the basement, and install stormproof doors and windows. You see a photo after a hurricane. Five homes are flattened, while one looks untouched. These home hardening methods really work, says Moran from Florida's PACE. Insurers may require these upgrades in especially risky areas. Making the investment increases your chances of qualifying for a policy and possibly getting better rates. Raise your deductible. Increasing your deductible reduces your monthly premium, though you'll pay more out of pocket when filing a claim. If you use this strategy, ensure you've saved enough cash in a deductible fund first, recommends Hagen from Assurance IQ. Improve your credit score. In some states, insurers can consider your credit score when setting insurance premiums. By improving your credit, you can also save on your home and auto insurance premiums. To boost your score, make your monthly loan and credit card payments on time and limit your credit card balance to no more than 30% of your available credit. Don't cancel coverage. With the cost of insurance soaring, 16% of Americans are considering canceling their homeowners' or renters' insurance, according to a 2023 survey from Assurance IQ. I would strongly urge consumers to rethink this decision. The long-term risk can outweigh the immediate financial gain, says Hagen. Insurers consider whether you maintain ongoing coverage as a factor in their decisions. Not only are you putting your home at risk, but going without insurance can hurt your ability to qualify in the future. Now we got a blue box on the bottom of page 47. Help with renovations that could lower premiums. Coming up with the money for home hardening renovations isn't always easy. For example, a new roof might cost well over $10,000. State government programs could help you pay for improvements. Florida. The My Safe Florida Home Program provides cash grants to homeowners to strengthen roofs and upgrade doors, windows, and garages. For every $1 you spend on hurricane mitigation measures, you could qualify for up to $2 of additional government money to pay for the upgrades, up to a maximum of $10,000. The program has limited funding each year and prioritizes low-income applicants. Applications are currently closed, but will reopen with new funding on July 1st. With the Florida PACE program, you can borrow up to 100% of the cost of qualifying home improvements using a fixed interest loan secured by your home. There is no credit check to qualify. The cost of paying the loan back is added to your annual property tax bill. California. The California Wildfire Mitigation Program provides financial assistance to low and moderate income households to help pay for home hardening upgrades against fire. It's a pilot program in only a few counties, but the California government plans to expand it in the future. Oregon. Oregon launched a fire hardening grant program for homes or businesses damaged by fire in 2020 and 2021. Eligible homeowners could receive up to $6,000 in cash grants for fire hardening improvements. FEMA Flood Mitigation Grants. The Federal Emergency Management Agency offers annual grants to areas affected by severe flooding. State governments can apply for these grants and then provide funds to homeowners to invest in flood mitigation improvements. For example, in 2022, Louisiana, Mississippi, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania homeowners were eligible for $60 million in grants under this program. Check with your state's housing department to see whether FEMA funds are available. And another blue box back on page 45, we have where to shop for the best rate. Switching to a different insurer can be an effective way to save money on premiums. My general advice is if you're not satisfied with your premiums, shop around, says Stephen Crudson, Senior Director of Insurance Intelligence at data analytics company J.D. Power. Most major insurance companies let you get quotes online or over the phone within minutes. You could also work with an independent agent who represents multiple insurers. They might quote you 15 insurers at once, says Crudson. At trustedchoice.com, you can search for local independent agents. Another way to shop rates is through websites such as insure.com, Insurify.com, and TheZebra.com. After you fill out a short application, you can pull numerous local quotes. If you belong to a membership group, such as AAA or Costco, check their discounted insurance programs as well. When shopping rates, use an apples-to-apples comparison, says Matt Hagen, a director at Assurance IQ, an online insurance marketplace. For example, if your current auto policy offers $300,000 in total bodily injury liability coverage for accidents you cause, make sure the new, cheaper quote doesn't include only the state minimum, which usually provides much less protection. If you cause an accident with damage beyond your liability coverage, you could be sued and required to make up the difference with your savings or a wage garnishment. Bring up all your policies when comparing quotes with an agent, who may find a combination of coverage that leads to a better deal. You might pay less by increasing the liability on your auto and home insurance to reduce the cost of the umbrella coverage, says Jeff Schlitt, owner of Schlitt Services, an independent insurance agency in Vero Beach, Florida. Finally, ensure the price is low enough to make the switch worthwhile. Insurers consider loyalty when quoting rates and might not offer the best deal to people who switch every year, says Schlitt. Next on page 48, we have an article by Sarah Brady. Clean up your credit reports. Complaints about errors have shot up. Here's why, and how to fix them. Have you looked at your credit reports lately? If you haven't, you might be in for a surprise. Credit reports are notoriously prone to errors, but in the past few years, the errors seem to be more ubiquitous and harder to fix. According to records from the Federal Trade Commission, the total number of consumer complaints regarding credit report issues jumped more than fourfold between 2019 and 2023, from 165,000 to 711,802. Yet that figure represents just a fraction of the problems people had with their credit reports. Research from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau indicates that the nationwide consumer credit reporting companies Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion receive millions of disputes annually regarding the completeness or accuracy of information on credit reports. Why have complaints skyrocketed? One reason is that there was a major uptick in identity theft from 2020 to 2022. This crime, which can leave a victim's credit in shambles, is responsible for the majority of credit report complaints that consumers file. At the same time, the public gained substantially greater access to free credit reports. Until 2020, the three credit reporting companies granted consumers only one free report per year, as they are required to do by law. But in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, the companies began providing free access once a week. The change has given consumers a chance to see and report credit damage much closer to real time. Why is it so difficult to fix your reports? According to the Fair Credit Reporting Act, credit reporting companies must assure maximum possible accuracy in your reports. But if you ask the companies to fix an error, they might tell you to take up the issue with the furnisher, that is, the credit card company, lender, or debt collector that provided the information in question. That often makes sense because furnishers are the ones responsible for providing information regarding credit card balances, monthly payments, and other details about your debt. However, many times consumers report that a furnisher will simply refer them back to the credit reporting company. On top of that, credit repair companies have muddied the waters for everyone. If you're on TikTok, you may have seen influencers promoting these businesses. There are more than 40,000 in the U.S. Many credit repair companies are one-person operations, and they're operating in an industry filled with scammers. According to these companies, their main job is to help customers by disputing negative information on credit reports. However, their services are superfluous because you can dispute incorrect information yourself. In fact, most people can file a dispute in just a matter of minutes for free. Nonetheless, the growing credit repair industry rakes in billions of dollars in annual revenue by promising to get accurate negative information, say a collection account for a debt the consumer truly owes, removed from credit reports and then inundating the credit reporting companies with disputes and hoping something will stick. How do credit reporting companies respond? In short, they don't. The companies are not required to investigate frivolous or irrelevant disputes, and they generally ignore claims submitted by third parties. Unfortunately, anyone who uses a template to write their dispute letter or whose claim resembles a third-party submission in some other way could easily have their claim dismissed. In just 1 month in 2020, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau found that about half of all legitimate disputes were dismissed for this reason. On top of that, your options for recourse have become weaker. Despite giving consumers more free credit report access in 2020, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion adopted new policies the same year that made it easier to dismiss disputes as third-party submissions. In cases in which the CFPB intervened, consumers got relief in less than 2% of complaints in 2021, compared with 25% in 2019. So what should you do? You might be tempted to give up before you even look at your credit reports, but there are more reasons than ever to keep a watchful eye on them. If you're not monitoring your reports, you might not discover damaging errors or identity theft until you have a mortgage application declined, you're turned down for a rental housing, or you fail a background check for a new job. Instead of waiting for a credit report error to interrupt your plans, try reviewing your reports on a regular basis, and far in advance of applying for a new apartment or credit, so you have extra time to clean up any mess you may find. For free weekly copies of all three of your credit reports, visit the federally authorized website www.annualcreditreport.com. While other free services such as Credit Karma and CreditWise can be useful for accessing your credit scores, annualcreditreport.com is the only place where you're guaranteed by law to see full copies of your reports from all three credit reporting companies. When you read your credit reports, look carefully for details that don't belong. If you've experienced identity theft, you might find accounts that aren't yours or hard inquiries for new accounts you didn't apply for. Other material errors to note include an incorrect social security number, a wrong date of birth, someone else's name appearing on your reports, or payments incorrectly reported as late. You should include all of those errors on a list of items to dispute. You might find other legitimate negative records you would like removed from your credit reports, such as paid off collection debt or a recent bankruptcy, but the dispute process is meant to rectify only inaccurate or incomplete information. Tips for a successful dispute. For each error in your credit reports, try to determine whether the credit reporting company or the furnisher is the source of the problem. If, for example, the error pertains to a credit card account that rightfully belongs to you, the furnisher, in this case the credit card company, is likely responsible and might resolve the issue if you reach out to it directly. If the furnisher refuses to correct the error, follow up by disputing it with the credit reporting company. However, if the error pertains to your identity or an account that doesn't belong to you, start with your credit reporting company instead. You should initiate a dispute with each credit reporting company that shows the incorrect information. Before you reach out to any party, though, gather any documents that support your claim. Useful documents might include a copy of a bank statement showing your on-time payment, an identity theft report outlining how you were affected by a crime, go to identitytheft.gov to create the report, or an email from a debt collector confirming a payment arrangement. To find out where to file your dispute, take a look at your dispute disclaimer near the end of the credit report. You'll see that you have the option to contact the credit reporting company online, by mail, or by phone. The fastest way to file is online, but this option can limit your ability to provide details and make it difficult to prove that you even filed. For these reasons, the safest option is to submit your dispute by certified mail with a return receipt requested. When you write out the details of your dispute, make sure to include the consumer identification or report number on the credit report, details that identify each account in question, and a clear statement of what needs to be fixed. While referring to a template letter for disputes can give you an idea of how to format your letter, it's best to use your own words, because boilerplate language might get your dispute flagged as a third-party submission. To increase your chances that your dispute will be successful, send copies of your dispute documents directly to the furnisher via certified mail as well. Once you file a dispute, the credit reporting company has up to 45 days to contact the furnisher and investigate your claim. During that time, the credit reporting company might request more information from you. Once the investigation ends, the company has 4 business days to block items on your reports that resulted from identity theft, as long as you submit proof of your identity, a copy of an identity theft report, and a statement clarifying which info does not belong on your reports. In total, a credit reporting company has 5 days to inform you of its decision. If a furnisher fixes an error as a result of your dispute, that furnisher has to provide each of the credit reporting companies with updated information. What comes after a dispute? Even if you take all the right steps when you file a legitimate dispute, it could still be dismissed. Plenty of valid disputes appear to be ignored by the credit reporting companies, and unfortunately, there isn't a big fix on the horizon. However, if you disagree with the decision, there are additional actions you can take. Although filing a complaint with the CFPB appears to have become less effective in providing relief, it may still be worth a try. The CFPB shares complaints with the corresponding credit reporting company or furnisher, and that party must respond within 60 days. You can submit complaints about credit reporting issues at consumerfinance.gov or by calling 855-411-2372. You can also add a written statement to your credit report to explain the error. You submit your statement directly to the reporting company. Adding a statement won't fix the error or improve your credit scores, but creditors may see it when they review your reports in the future. Just be sure to note when the negative item is due for removal from your report, because you'll need to delete your statement after that date. If you don't, you could end up unnecessarily alerting future creditors to a past credit problem. For unresolved errors that significantly damage your credit scores or make it difficult to qualify for new credit, further action may be warranted. If the credit reporting company or the furnisher has failed to fix outdated, incorrect, or unverifiable information in your reports, you may be able to file a lawsuit against them. In 2020, Lisa Hill Green did just that. After Experian dismissed two of her legitimate disputes, Hill Green brought a class action lawsuit against the company on behalf of herself and some 10 million other consumers who'd been affected. In 2023, Experian settled the suit for a reported $22.45 million. To find out whether you have a legal case against a credit reporting company, consult an attorney. Contact the American Bar Association, www.americanbar.org, or call 800-285-2221. Or visit consumeradvocates.org to find an attorney who has experience handling credit reporting cases. Whew, and that's it for this installment of the Magazine Rack. I've been reading the June edition of Kiplinger Personal Finance. I'm Michael Prinz. So long, until next time.